Special thanks to Aaron Bareless for helping us bring you today's PEO Leadership Snippet Podcast. Welcome to our Snippets Podcast. I'm Leon Gorin, CEO and President of PEO Leadership, North America's premier peer-to-peer networking and leadership advisory firm. Today, I'm very excited to welcome Dan Carmichael, the President of Whitecap Canada. The company was founded in 1997 by Rob Carmichael and actually has a special place in my heart. I had the opportunity back in 1997 to be one of their first customers while building out a company called JustWhiteShirts.com. They were amazing to work with back then and have obviously evolved to become an amazing Canadian success story today with clients such as Toronto Hydro, Woodbine, Drone, Miele, and the list goes on. Dan joined PEO Leadership a few years back and is part of an entrepreneurial group advisory board led by Miguel Gonzalez. Dan, it's great to have you with us today.
Beautiful. Thanks for having me, Leon. I appreciate it.
So why don't we start with, let's start about Dan. Because when you go through Dan's, your profile, I'm doing you third person here, but when you go through your profile, you left the big corporate job in 2018 and you became really an entrepreneur going into an SME business. And I know in our membership, we always have all these big corporate guys going, yeah, the grass is greener. I'm going to do that. And often it doesn't work out too well for them. But for you, it's been fantastic. So maybe just share some of that experience of what it was like, what the decision you made, and maybe even some of the bumps and some of the great moments of doing that change.
Yeah, I love to. It started actually probably in 2015 when, Rob was looking for a successor for Whitecap. And I guess he'd met with his board and decided that I might be a great fit. And I think the board agreed at the time. And so he started sort of courting me, if you would, and sort of, taking me out to dinner and sort of selling me on the idea that I need to come to Whitecap for my future. So, I was riding high on technologies and things were flying. One of the top account executives, managing the big accounts like Walmart's and Magna International, Honeywell, you name it, big, huge global accounts. So it was such a good experience for me building my career there. But Rob kept coming and he kept coming hard. And the whole, I guess, corporate landscape is always changing. It's always seems to be guardrail to guardrail in the corporate world. One day you need this, one day you need that. From quarter to quarter, it's changing. And there's a lot of different acquisitions and mergers going on. So after him courting me for a few years, Dell decided to buy EMC, which was one of the largest tech mergers at the time. I think it was worth $64 billion. And yeah. So we sort of merged with EMC. And that really changed the corporate culture. Despite, Michael Dell and everybody trying not to change the culture, merging two massive organizations like that did have an effect and a trickle-down effect. And for me, it was sort of, it wasn't really what I wanted to see anymore. It was not really sort of a fit. I thought, this isn't really going the direction I want. It seems like EMC's taken a little far too much latitude and control here in certain areas. And it just, to me, it didn't feel right. It didn't smell right. I really sat long and hard, talked to my wife and family and just said, I think this is what I want to do. I need your support because this is going to be a tough transition, going from that large corporate Leon to, a small company with like 40 people. So it was a real tough decision and probably took me just months of grinding it out in my head to make that final leap and say, let's do this. So I did.
Awesome.
So I did in October of 2018. I made the move. I decided, I'm going to walk away from this 21-year, successful career at Dell and start a job with my brother in software development, custom software development, which is a little different than what I was doing originally, which was more server storage, hardware, end user computing with a side of services. Now I'm moving into a full service company, new technology for me, sort of the same sort of, type of selling motions, but very different technology. So it was good for me because, again, I was learning, it reinvigorated my career at that time in terms of my you know, growth and personal growth, my interest, you know, my passion every day waking up. Because as you know, when you are in a job for, you know, 10, 15, 20 years, you get really good at it. And you get so good at it, you can probably do, you know, a lot of your work without even realizing it. And it becomes very, 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 and sometimes boring, right? If you're not learning and growing. And I kind of felt like that at Dell before I left and moved into the small business world. And I thought, this is going to be a huge change, right? This is going to have flipped me upside down. You know, I'm going to need to learn new technology. I'm going to meet a whole new set of people. You know, I'm going from an individual contributor to a people person and a manager, right, where I'll be managing teams. So that was another big aspect for me that I had to wrestle with.
It was an interesting move because you didn't jump in as the president. In fact, you did a few years learning the business. Like, it was an interesting transition for you, which when I see sometimes members, they just jump right into an entrepreneurial role, came from big corp right to the president's role. And yeah. That's probably very helpful in terms of how you transitioned in.
I think it was part of the picture, like the big picture that we talked about, that I talked about with Rob, was that, you know, I need to really learn your business, understand it. You know, I need your mentorship, your guidance, your experience to help me learn the business before I can really run it and operate it. It's very different than a large corporate, you know, business where you've got a lot, giant teams operationalizing those businesses. Here, it's just, you know, a few small people. And if you don't understand it, it was really important for me to understand the business, be in the trenches, as I did, you know, growing up through Dell, being in the trenches at Whitecap, growing up, learning the whole cycle from, you know, A to Z. So I understand what people are going through, what they're dealing with on a day-to-day basis, the challenges, you know, the successes. And I think that humanizes me as a leader because I really understand now, you know, almost all the roles at Whitecap and how people are dealing with their jobs in a, you know, day in and day out.
At Whitecap, because I don't think people really fully understand, even I didn't understand until I was chatting with you, the extent of the work you guys do. Like, you do some very cool stuff. The world is changing very quickly. You're sort of at the forefront. I remember talking to you about drones and going, you guys are in the drone business? You're doing software for drones now? Where did that come from?
Yeah.
And I know a lot of us have been looking at AI and trying to pull that in. Where are you guys going with the AI stuff as well?
Well, first off, I think, you know, almost every company these days is a software company. You know, there's software running the world these days. So no matter what, you know, you look inside any company and there's software. And AI coming out, you know, in November of 2022 sort of really, really brought to light sort of some of the efficiencies you can gain by using it. Obviously, we were really interested in it. We'd been using AI to, you know, various levels, you know, already. In fact, you know, many people use AI today and don't even realize it, like Google search, you know, Netflix recommendations, Amazon's personal shopper. All these things are all AI enabled and people are using it. But these large language models combined with a natural processing language is just really made it more conversational, right? And so we decided that, you know, this is something we're interested in and we need to start advertising this because a lot of companies really need to understand, how do I get into it? How's this going to help my business? You know, where can this plug into existing applications I have, or how can I develop new ones that are going to take advantage of this, maybe to increase efficiencies and processes, help people augment what they're doing today to make their jobs easier? So, you know, it was a real big area for us to focus on. So I have these roundtables every Monday with my management team, and we sit down and we talk about, you know, what are the opportunities in front of us and challenges, and, you know, and AI was one of them. And we all thought we need to be in the front of this. We need to jump out and get on this as quickly as possible. So I had some plans to go into the US, which we do business globally anyway, but I had plans to launch a website in the US just to go after that market as well, which we haven't done yet. Part of my expansion plans. But we decided, let's park that for a little bit. Still going to happen this year, but let's get some information out there around AI for our clients, our existing clients who are all asking us about this. for new customers that are looking to get into AI and really need that help with consulting and integrations. And so we just launched last week our AI website content, and it was good. It's something we needed to do because our customers were all asking.
If you're a customer today, because I remember we actually had Avi Goldfarb speak to our members in March, and he sort of like opened this big black box, right, about all these opportunities in AI. And at the end, I think a lot of the members sat there and go, oh my God, this is great. I wouldn't even know where to start. And they're also the big fear of how much money do I actually invest in it? If I'm a customer coming to you today, Dan, what questions do I need to be asking you about what I should be digging into in AI, or where should I even go to learn a little bit more about it?
Well, you obviously can go to our website, and on our website there, under our services and what we offer there, there's a whole section on AI and sort of how to get started into AI, whether it's for marketing or human resources or manufacturing. A lot of tools that are coming out that are just out of the box that are already going to improve your lives. Many of us use Microsoft already today for Word, Excel, email, etc. And they're coming out with something called Copilot. And Copilot is AI enabled, and it's included with your license, which is great. And it's going to help really automate a lot of the processes you may do in your day-to-day work. Whether it's helping you respond to emails or helping you with PowerPoint presentations and jazzing them up, integrating with your CRM system and Dynamics. So there's a lot of out-of-the-box stuff that's coming, and you're going to want to know how to use it. But there's also a bunch of areas of where can we get involved with AI, and what can we do to bring it into our existing applications. And there's a process that we go through to help you up front and take you through how to look at your data if you have there. You know, how can we help, you know, use that data and put it into a model, but keep it secure and safe from the public eye, because you really don't want your data out there at all. Right. So that's going to be a very important, determination when looking at AI. There's many different things to consider. There's ethical and social impacts around, you know, like I said, privacy. There's bias and discrimination in some of the responses you get. So how do you deal with that? How you deal with those, you know, ethical dilemmas that may come from the responses you get, and how do you frame that? And so that's something that our team can help with. There's also, you know, sort of unintended consequences that can happen. Right, interacting with other systems, you know, where they're not explicitly trained. So you really got to look at a bunch of factors when you're looking at AI and making sure you're using it for good and for the better of your business.
That's great. Well, thanks so much for that, Dan. And, you know, even to our listeners, at least we've opened the box here. They can actually come to your website. They give you a shout, especially if they're part of the community. I know you'll take any one of their calls.
It's important. It is. It's a tough thing to understand and get your head around, and you know how much you're going to spend. You know, you can spend very little and get a really cool chat bot that's very communicative, two-way communication, all about your business. And really save your customer service a lot of phone calls and a lot of heartache. They're not like they used to be, right? They're very conversational now, and that's not very expensive to get into that. But then there's other things. If you're going to train your own models and do your own sort of custom AI, then it can get very expensive.
Thanks so much for joining us today and sharing your insights. I look forward. Obviously, I'm very privileged. I get to talk to you whenever I need to, so I continue to learn. If you're interested in our live webcast, The Way Forward Live, and or any other snippets, please take a moment and visit us at poleadership.com. You'll find on our site various previous recorded webcasts, which include guests such as Stephen Polos, Avi Goldfarb, Dr. Michael Royce, and Morgan Housel, Jason Salk, Mitchell Goldhart. The list goes on, and it covers topics such as growth, uncertainty, mental health, leadership, the new world, and a host of others. Thank you for joining us all today, and check out our upcoming PO Leadership Conference, Adapting to a World of Opportunity, taking place on November 13th and 14th in Toronto. Thanks again.